Grace and peace be to you from the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Good reading, Ridley. Good job. Our sermon series for the summer, of course, is titled The Story in Stained Glass. And again, the window of the week is the one right back there. It's also up on the screen, so you can get a little bit of a close-up this way. It's Jesus knocking at the door. This is one of our great treasures. It's an older collection from 1938, and it's scribed Auf Deutsch. So if we could look at that print in German, it reads this. Gifted by the church youth, or gifted by the youth of the church.
Special delivery. It says it's from heaven. Special delivery.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Right in the middle of my message? Are you? OMG, it says it's from Jesus. Uh-oh, excuse me. Better check this out real quick. Okay. VTech, read this to the congregation instead of that thing you call a sermon today. All right. If you say so, Lord. Dear people of Holy Ghost Lutheran Church, I write this letter to you because I love you and I desire for you to grow in faith in me and not get stuck in the sin of this world. So please take heart and know that it is sent in love, signed, your Lord and Savior, Jesus. Okay. Well, it's a letter. It's a letter from the Lord. He writes, the Bible passage that was read to you today was filled with strong language. It was done that way in order to get your attention, so that you might focus on these words. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open, I will come in to you. The door is your heart. And I come knocking every single day. Sometimes you give me your heart, and other times you hold back. At times you may open the door slightly and give me a portion of that heart, but I want the whole thing. As that Bible passage says, I once told my disciples, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So I'm asking you today, how open is the door of your heart to me? What age of faith is your heart these days? How old is your faith? Not how old are you. You might be 20, 40, 60, or 80 years old, only to have the faith maturity of a teenager or less. So how mature is your faith? The church youth donated the stained glass that you focus on today. So what level of faith do you have? A baby heart of faith? A toddler's heart of faith? An adolescent or maybe a mature adult heart of faith? I'm knocking for you to grow up in your faith. So let's visit about these things today. And you and the Holy Spirit decide. First of all, do you have a baby faith? Babies generally do three things. They eat, they sleep, and they poop. If there isn't the right balance of each, what do? They cry. Most times a baby just wants to be held, and as long as its needs are being taken care of, it really doesn't care about a whole lot else in life. I realize that there are times when you need to be cared for. Maybe you're going through a hard time and you need to be fed or nurtured, consoled, or rocked in my arms. I get that. And that's why I have said to you, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will coddle you like a good parent holds its baby. This is part of what I'm here for. But there's also times that I knock at your heart's door, and all you have is a baby faith. You know, a baby faith is one that usually only cries to me when they need something. Maybe it's an emergency. Maybe you're going through a messy time. Maybe you need a diaper change. And then you come running to me. And that's not all bad. But if that's the only times and reasons that you come to me, we got to talk. Faith is more than just a convenient hold me when I'm crying faith. When you want to just be a spectator, to be on the receiving end of my benefits. You know what I call a baby faith for Christians is being a pew potato. You've heard of a couch potato, right? Someone who just lays on the couch and eats snacks and works the remote. Well, a pew potato is a believer who just sits in the pews and receives. Doesn't do much in return, doesn't serve, doesn't work a whole lot in the programs, doesn't share their talents. Other times, a baby faith can be what we're called a cheester. You know what a cheester is, don't you? It's a combination of Christmas and Easter. Cheester, those people who just show up at those times. Or it's people who want to only be hatched, matched, and dispatched by the church. You know what that is, don't you? Hatched means baptized, matched means married, and dispatched means buried. Hey, the good thing about even a baby faith is that the person still has faith. As little as it may be, baby faith is still saving faith. But I'm knocking on the door of your heart to have more than just a baby faith. Second, do you have a toddler faith? Well, this is a great time to be raising a family, a child. But you know, it gets you to and hopefully through the terrible twos. This age is marked by phrases like this: I want, no, me. The kid thinks that they're the center of the universe. Toddlers can be spotted on the aisles of Walmart. And usually it's in the toy section, right? Laying on the floor, throwing a royal hissy fit because they want the toy that mom or dad won't get them. And they kick and they scream until they get what they want, or until the parent carries them out as the child yells to the top of their lungs, "But I want that toy now!" Toddler faith is very self-centered. It usually looks to me as their supplier, sort of like Santa Claus, to give them what they want, or Batman to save them from a bad situation, or some other superhero who will rescue them in a time of need. The prayer life of a toddler faith is usually shallow, and it's just a long list of wants. And the prayer life is normally fairly dormant until a problem hits, and then they fall to their knees, they reach for their Bible, they show up at church as if to treat me as a genie in a bottle who can be summoned out and grant them their wish. A toddler faith is like, let's make a deal, offering bargains in the hope of getting what they want. And just like a baby faith, a toddler faith is real, and it is a saving faith. It's just ego-centered. It puts me on their terms when faith is convenient for them, just like a little child. You know, I did once say, and I was quoted in the Bible as saying that we're supposed to have childlike faith. Childlike, yes. Childish, no. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. When I knock at the door of your heart, I'm asking for more. More than just a toddler faith. Third, do you have an adolescent faith? Adolescence is somewhere between youth and adult. And it's filled with lots of roller coaster rides of ups and downs. Awkward moments, bonehead mistakes, out of control hormones, and inconsistent behaviors. And it depends on the day and the situation. You can be anything from a superhero to a ridiculous, rebellious teen. It's called Jekyll and Hyde time. I recall your pastor, the one who's reading this letter right now. He was 19, 20, or 21, I forget. He was often the subject of his mother's pride and joy. But he could also prove to be the south end of a northbound donkey. Really, Lord? His mom had been talking him up to a single gal at her office. There was going to be a Christmas party, and the girl needed a date. So his mom was telling about how involved he was in church and how wonderful of a religious man he was, yada, 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 yada. So the girl asked him out. The evening went well until he partook a little too much in that open bar and overindulged. Really, Lord? Only just to make a fool of himself. From hero to zero in less than 2 days. I'd tell you more about him, but we'd be here all day. Adolescent faith is a budding faith, and you can sense the presence of God leading you beyond your own selfish centeredness. Not just using him for what you want and what you need. It's when you begin to appreciate God for all that he's given you, especially the gifts of Jesus, forgiveness and salvation. And then you begin to get it and give back in service, in leadership, in your offerings. But in a matter of just a couple of days, you can also sink to a new low. Because adolescent faith might be a person who's in church every week, but not implementing that faith during the week. It might be one who blesses God's name in one crowd only to use God's name in vain with another. It might be modeling what a faithful spouse is while at home, but flirting with the girls at the office while at work. It could be receiving forgiveness, but not sharing it. You see, an adolescent faith is a fickle faith. At times, it responds to me knocking at the heart and hearing and gladly obeying. And at other times, it just shifts with the wind and plummets into disappointments, making excuses for ill behavior. When I knock at the door of your heart, I'm calling for more than just an adolescent faith. Which brings me to the mature adult faith. That's when a person becomes more fully responsible for self and family, more independent, a productive citizen, contributing to the welfare of the community. This person owns a healthy pride. This person speaks up for those who have no voice and humbly serves without regard to recognition. This person confronts injustices, strives for excellence at home and in the workplace. You own up to when you're wrong. You forgive as you have been forgiven. That's a mature adult. Problem is that people may grow in years, reach an adult age, but they don't always grow up. Some years ago, your pastor, the one reading this letter, attended his 25th high school reunion. Class members now were 43 years old. Most of them had families, children, established homes, and jobs. But during that reunion, you would have thunk that some had traveled in a time machine back to the future and were in high school again. One of the fellows in the class, who is not your pastor, seriously, not your pastor, spotted a woman who back in the day was very attractive to him. But now, years later, she had some sort of makeover and really caught his eye. And the way that this man acted was like a deer buck in a rut. I was pleased that your pastor and others found this immaturely sickening. Another guy, not your pastor, talked about his sexual prowess through the years and how he now had finally settled down and caught a trophy wife. He bragged about his waywardness using vulgar language. I was again encouraged that your pastor and others found this totally repulsive. All to say that a quarter of a century after walking the high school stage, all had grown older, but not all had grown up. When it comes to our faith maturity, I venture to say that no one gets to a good place and stays there. You might have worked your way through faith infancy. You might have pushed through the terrible twos. You might have even survived adolescence. To get to a place of greater faith consistency, responsibility, wise decisions. And when I knock, you generally open the door and obey. I mean, you're here today. That's great. You're in my word and in prayer regularly. You're in study and service, and you have committed offerings to the kingdom work at your church and beyond. You run when temptation presents itself. You quit making excuses. You even seek to live a Christ-like life as best that a broken person can. But given the right conditions, with money, power, position, popularity, sex, and material things, all are prone to slip in reverse and revert to a former stage, failing to answer the knock at their door. Good news, though. Good news is this. It's great news that I never quit knocking at your door. Again and again, I seek to reinstate, renew, and restore you. And I will rarely ever push my way into your life. I'm not going to force myself upon you. I'm not going to barge in or break down the door. I'm not going to twist arms or haggle or nag or pester. For my grace is always an invitational knock at which you are called to respond by faith in repenting of your sins and opening your heart again to live a life according to me. Today again, I knock at your heart's door right up here at Holy Communion, my body broken and my blood shed for your forgiveness and a reminder that I never, ever give up on you. I pray that you hunger for me like I hunger for you. And here's the key to an adult, mature faith. It's one that when you've been given second and third and 400th chances, that when I come knocking at your heart's door again, in thanksgiving for the grace that you have received, you truly try to seek to be and do better. This window, every time you look at it, should remind you that I am never finished with you. And even when you close the door to me, I'll never give up on you. So remember this, that I love you. I love you just the way you are, but I love you so very much that I refuse to let you remain a baby, a toddler, or even an adolescent. Signed in blood, your Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.